In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hear again the words of the prophet Joel from chapter 2, verse 13. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Today is Ash Wednesday. So where then are the ashes? Why is our Ash Wednesday ashless? The reason is not that we are not Roman Catholic. That's never a good reason to do or not do anything. The reason is that you are not ashes from ashes. You are dust from dust. You are dirt. Dust you are, and to the dust you will return. The wages of sin is death. We bite the dust. Dirt is what Adam was made of. Dirt is where Adam goes. Poor dusty Adam. Poor dusty you. Ashes were a symbol of mourning in the Old Testament, a sign of grief. You put them on yourself. You literally heaped them on top of your head, like Job did in his suffering. You didn't have others put them on you. You put them on yourself. Ashes were none of anybody else's business. They were your business. And it wasn't just a little dab. It was a whole pile. And you also wore sackcloth, too. Scratchy, itchy burlap. Sackcloth and ashes, remember? They go together. There doesn't seem to be much of a market anymore for sackcloth these days. You don't hear about Sackcloth Wednesday, just Ash Wednesday. A little respectable dab of greasy ashes from last year's palm fronds. And then the prophet Joel creeps in. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Torn garments were another sign of mourning, costly to the wardrobe too, and it wasn't sackcloth that you tore. But God desires neither torn clothing nor soiled foreheads. What he desires is crushed and broken hearts. Hearts that have felt the hammer blows of the law upon them. Hearts that have been plowed under into good soil. Hearts that recognize that there is nothing whatsoever in us that should obligate God to us. Empty, broken, crushed hearts are what the Lord seeks, not self-imposed, ceremonially sooty foreheads. Jesus does not put ashes on you, nor will I, his servant in his office. You know, and you've known me for 18 years, you know I love ritual. I love ceremony. But rituals and ceremonies must teach, and they must teach accurately. Jesus does not put ashes on you. Jesus does not soil you with sin. You do that to yourselves. That's why you put ashes on yourself. You did it. It's your own, pardon the expression, damned fault. You did it. Jesus does not put ashes on you. Jesus does not pronounce death sentences over your head. Jesus saved you from your death sentence. Jesus marks you with his cross. Jesus baptizes you. Jesus washes away the dust of Adam, and he makes you a new person in himself. He raises you up out of the dust, and he makes you a new you in him. He forgives you your sins. He gives you eternal life. The wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus does not put ashes on you. He doesn't make you dirty. He makes you clean. Perhaps a more fitting Ash Wednesday symbol would be for us to have a big pile of dirt at the church door. And so when you come in, you soil your faces with dirt. And then you come up to the font, and I get to wash them clean. and all the dirt goes into the baptismal font to stay, and you leave the church on Ash Wednesday with faces scrubbed clean and hair combed, just the way Jesus said. That would work, but then we'd start inventing new rituals, and we already have plenty of those, so we don't need a new ritual. What we need is renewed repentance. That's what we need. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Adam sinned. No secret. Adam sinned. He disobeyed the word of God. He refused the gift of God in the tree of life, and he ate of that which was forbidden him by the word. And for that, he heard these words, "Dust you are, and to the dust you will return." His food would be hard-earned bread. His life would be one of toil and sorrow and sweat. His wife would suffer magnified pain in childbirth. His marriage would be a struggle of who is in charge. There would be tears and sweat and labor and weeds until the man of dust returns to the dust, because dust you are, and to dust you will return. And yet, in the midst of all that, a promise. "I will make enmity between you, serpent, and the woman, between your seed and her seed," not his, her, virgin born. "You will wound him, you will injure his heel, and his injured heel will crush your head. I promise it." Adam could not save himself. We cannot save ourselves from the dust. The disease of sin runs too deep. It corrupts everything of our humanity. Adam cannot cure himself. Dust cannot save itself. It takes another Adam, a second Adam, not from the dust, but from heaven. One born of woman, one born under the law, and yet one who is above the law, one who is outside the law, sinless, unblemished, Lamb of God. Where Adam sinned, Christ, the second Adam, obeyed. Where Adam brought death, Christ brings life. Where Adam brought condemnation, Christ brings justification, acquittal, vindication to all. Where Adam brought death, Christ brings resurrection from the dead. You are baptized. Never forget that, and in Lent, remember it anew. You are baptized. When you hear the words of absolution, especially as they are spoken to you individually, and I so much prefer individually to that corporate thing, because you were baptized individually, didn't turn a fire hose on the congregation. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Yeah? You hear the words of forgiveness spoken to you in the same way that the water flowed upon your head in the triune name. Your sooty, soiled foreheads have been washed clean and marked by the Lord. You are one of his. And when we trace that mark of ownership, whenever we make the sign of the cross, we are reminding ourselves that we have been rescued from the dust. And so why would we want to soil that mark of Christ with Adam's dirt? In baptism, your sins, though they be as scarlet, have been made white as snow. In baptism, the soiled soot of sin has been washed away in the cleansing flood of Jesus' death on the cross. This calls for repentance, not just one Wednesday out of the year, but each and every day the Lord gives you. Daily dying, daily rising. Adam must die. Dust he is, and to dust he must return. Christ must rise. Return to the Lord your God. He has come to you. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That means love based on promise. He will not pronounce a death sentence over your head, deserved though that death sentence would be. That Jesus has heard himself, and he has taken it upon himself. You instead have a life sentence pronounced over you. Forgiven, washed, justified, sanctified, made holy. What Adam has done, Christ has undone, and more. Do you want a sign to mourn over? Do you want to grieve over your sin? Do you want to have something to look at that causes you to grieve? Then don't look to your foreheads. Look to the cross of Jesus. Look to him suffering and bleeding and dying for your sins. There you will see grief and suffering over sin. Sin that caused the Son of God to shed his tears. Never was grief like this. Our tears can only dimly approximate the Savior's tears that he shed over us. Do you want a sign of your life and your forgiveness? Then trace the sign of the cross that Christ made upon you in your baptism, the sign made on your forehead and upon your heart, where God himself has marked you as one of his own, redeemed by Christ the crucified. And as one of the Lord's people, return to the Lord your God. Return to the font of your baptism. Return to the body and the blood of Christ that he gave and he shed for you and your life. Return with broken and contrite hearts, and he will raise you and he will restore you as he always does and as he always will in Jesus. Why no ashes on what we call Ash Wednesday? Here's the answer. Christ has died. Christ has risen. You are baptized. It is finished. Nothing to add to that. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.